Thank you very much. The mitzvah in our Torah only applies when you have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael. You have to have a rov b'nei Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Achrayim are bothered with Akasha. So why did they ever build their second base on Mikdash? The overwhelming majority of the world Jewish population lived in Bavel. Right, there was hardly anybody there. So why did they build the base on Mikdash at all? So the Achrayim say that it was a Hirasha. The Nevi'im told them, Chagas Chayim Alachit told them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires they should build the base on Mikdash. But following it was a Hirasha. Truth of the matter is that the Kasha is a Kasha even if you wouldn't have the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch writes that the mitzvah binyan beis hamikdash only applies when you have Rov Yisrael living in it. So it's a Kasha anyway. There is a Gemara in Sanhedrin that everyone agrees to. The Rambam quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chof and the beis Gimel mitzvahs that Tav Yisrael b'chnisasim la'aretz. There are three mitzvahs that have to be fulfilled in a specific order. So the order is first Lahamid Lahamelech, to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. And the second is Lahachriz Arish Alamolech, and only the third is Livnas Lahem Beis Abchir. So there was no Jewish government till the days of the Hashmonah. There was no Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So it's the Zelva Kasha, the same Kasha. Why did they ever build the second Beis Hamikdash? If they didn't have Lahamid Lahamelech, there was no Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. The building of the Beis Hamikdash is supposed to be supervised by the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Truth of the matter is that it's the same kasha and the same teretz. It was a Hirasha. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam sent the three Nevi'im, Chagas Chayim Malachi, and they insisted that we have to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says that's the whole reason why these three Nevi'im were sent. The Gemara has a comment that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was in Kas on B'nai Yisrael. He gave them Rishus to come back from Golus Bavel, and they didn't want to come back. They stayed behind. So the Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The Gemara says, on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu was told b'nevuah, the Chet HaMeraglim was on Tisha B'Av. They were crying, Leil Tisha B'Av. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at that time, Atem Mechisa Mechia Sholchinam, Ani Akol Lachem Mechia L'Doris. So they were told already on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim that when they'll build the Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. In the Chumash it's not so explicit, but it says Beferish like that in Yecheskel and in Tehillim. It says Beferish right on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were told that when they'll build the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be destroyed. So Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the first Beis HaMikdash, knew that it was Asid Lehechoriv. He knew that it was going to be destroyed. And still, he built the Beis HaMikdash, and he said Baruch HaKodesh, he said the Psukim, he composed Shir HaShir. He wrote in Shir HaShirim, "In Chema he nivna lehatiras kesef, in Delasi natzor alahu acharis." So the Gemara in Yuma in the first parak understands an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk that what he said Baruch HaKodesh was in Chema he, if after the Golus Bavel, after the 70 years of Golus Bavel, miyalu kachema, if everybody will move back to Eretz Yisrael, all the masses will move back. So then nivna lehatiras kesef, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a silver structure, silver is metal, ain't a rekim shalit bo, it will not rot away. Vim delisi notzim alo lo acharis, if it'll be a shvach aliyah, hardly anybody will come back, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut, lo acharis, from atzi arozim, a wooden bungalow, shah rekim shalit bo, that it'll rot away. In what sense does it mean it will rot, it will not rot? So the Pashup Shat, it means two levels. The Pashup Shat means, will the second Beis HaMikdash be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash? Or will it also be doomed to destruction? So if they would have all come back from Golus Bavel, the second Beis HaMikdash would have been the ultimate Beis HaMikdash. And because hardly anybody showed up, so his record showed it, but rotted away, so the second Beis HaMikdash was doomed to be destroyed. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation of Rekav Shovet Bo, namely, will they have Nevi'im? If everybody comes back, then ain't a rekev sholit bo and klali, so there won't be rekev. We'll still have Nevi'im. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam will still send Nevi'im. And if it be a shvach aliyah, then ha rekev sholit bo and klali, so not only the Beis HaMikdash will rot away, it'll be destroyed, but the klali so won't have any Nevi'im. So the Gemara said the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is in Kaas and Merein, so didn't want to send any Nevi'im. But because he wanted to have a Beis HaMikdash, the halacha says you must build the Beis HaMikdash under the supervision, under the auspices of Nevi'im. Even if you can figure out with archaeology exactly the location where the Beis HaMikdash is, and you know all the din still, the halacha requires, the pasuk says in Parashas Re'eh, L'shich Nesidrushu, Uvasa Shoma, so the Sifrei has a comment on that phrase, L'shich Nesidrushu, Drosh Alpi Novi. You have to consult a Novi when you're interested in building a Beis HaMikdash. One of Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher had this. Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he lived in Kalish, he lived in Europe. He never visited Eretz, didn't know that there was a mosque on the Makam HaMikdash. He never saw what was going on there. So he had this cholam that we should build the Beis HaMikdash and bring korbanos, and it may turn out that the one who's going to put up the money for building the Beis HaMikdash may turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. He was trying to entice the wealthy Jews that they should give money to build the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam says the one who will be instrumental in building Beis HaMikdash will probably turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. So the whole thing, there was nothing to discuss. There was a mosque on the Makam HaMikdash, and the Arabs wouldn't let the Jews build any Beis HaMikdash. Nothing to discuss. But he didn't know that fact. So he wrote this whole country's Drishas Tzion, and he sent it around. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Kivega, so he sent it to Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega was masked, and then Rabbi Kivega sent it to the Chacham Sofer, his son-in-law. And he was masked, everybody was masked. But Kivega was also a holy tzaddik. He didn't know what was going on in Eretz Yisrael. But the Chacham Sofer was a man of the world, so he knew that there's nothing to discuss. That Rabbi Kivega once sent a letter to the Chacham Sofer, that the Chacham Sofer was brought up in Frankfurt, and he knows the Rothschild family from Frankfurt, and the Rothschilds were so wealthy, they were lending money to the kings of the world. So maybe Rothschild will be able to be mashpia on the caliph, or on the Muslim leaders in Eretz Yisrael, that they should allow the Jews to bring a Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach. So the Chacham Sofer sent it back a letter. My dear father-in-law, what do you live in? Chalom is well. What are you talking about? They won't let any Jews walk anywhere near the Makam HaMikdash. There's nothing to discuss. What are we going to get Rothschild to speak? There's such anti-Semitism, nothing to discuss. So Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher was also Talmud of Rabbi Kivega, holy tzaddik. He didn't know that there's nothing to discuss. And he wrote a sefer, Drishas Tzion, and he thought that he solved all the world's problems, all the halachic problems, about where's the Makam HaMizbeach, which Kohanim you have to have Kohanim Yuchasim. So he gave solutions to all of the problems. The only problem he didn't even bring up that we have no solution for is you don't have any Nevi'im. So that somehow he ignored all of that. So that's where Rabbi Yankov Ettlinger sent him two letters. Rabbi Yankov Ettlinger was a rabbi in Germany. So he wrote a collection of tshuvas. He published a collection of tshuvas that's called Binyan Tzion. The reason why it's Binyan Tzion, the first two tshuvas, they're out of order. The tshuvas are not in the order of Shulchan Aruch. Totally out of order. I don't even think it's the order chronologically when the tshuvas were written. So I'm totally out of order. So the first two tshuvas in the Binyan Tzion were sent to Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher that there's nothing to discuss. You can't build a Beis HaMikdash without supervision, without authorization of Nevi'im. And he quotes this Sifrei on the pasuk L'shich Nesidrushu Drosh Al Pi Novi. And he says, lest someone think that the Gemara doesn't accept this drosha, and it's not so. The Gemara said the Ribbono Shel Olam is in Kas Amrei Yisrael at the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period because they didn't want to come back. So he decided he's not going to send any more Nevi'im. A Rekav Sholet Bo, the Rekav Klal Yisrael routed away no more Nevi'im, with the exception of Chagas Chaim Malachi, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Nevi'im only Mo'im Yibavol. Three Nevi'im came back. Each one was given a Nevu'ah about a certain aspect of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So you see the Gemara also holds from this din. The Gemara doesn't disagree. The Halacha says you have to have a Nevi'im. So you have to say anyway that the whole Bayi Sheni was a Hayroah Shoah. Because the Halacha says you only build the Beis HaMikdash, you have to do the mitzvahs in order. The order is first to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, Amad Lehem Melech, and then you build the Beis HaMikdash afterwards. There was no Jewish government at that time. So why in the world did they build the second Beis HaMikdash? The answer is the Nevi'im told them to. They were told, B'Nevu'ah, from Chagas HaMalach, all three chimed in together, and each one said in Nevu'ah a different aspect. Where you build the Beis HaMikdash, how you build the Beis HaMikdash, you bring the Karbonis even before you have the whole structure. I couldn't even offer Pishein Bais. Each Gemara says each one gave a different Nevu'ah. It was clearly a Hayroah Shoah. When the Baal HaTanya has in his collection of drushes in the Likutei Torah, when after several hundred years into the Bayi Sheni, deep into the Bayi Sheni, a little over 200 years before the Churban Bayi Sheni is when the Hashmonaim had their rebellion, and they established their government in Eretz Yisrael. So the Baal HaTanya says, when the Hashmonaim establish a government, a Jewish government, this enhanced the Hashivas of the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be built under the supervision of Nevi'im, but under the supervision of a Melech also. So the whole beginning of the Beis HaMikdash, there was no Yiddish Melech, it was a Goyish Melech. Malchei Yovan, Malchei Paras, Malchei Madai, Paras and Madai of Yovan. And finally, when the Hashmonaim established a Jewish government, so then this added Chashivas, that's what the Baal HaTanya writes, this added Chashivas to Beis HaMikdash, it's Beis HaMikdash that's connected with the Jewish Malchus in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam, when he starts off Hilchas Chanukah, writes what the Yom Tov is all about, what are we celebrating? So he says part of the celebration is that they establish an independent Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. They establish a Jewish government, we're celebrating about that also. Not only celebrating about the cleaning up of the Beis HaMikdash and the new menorah and the new mizbeach, we're celebrating also a Jewish government. So the Baal HaTanya says, why? Because when you have a Jewish government, that enhances the Beis HaMikdash. It's under the auspices of the Jewish government. Where did the Rambam get it from? So they point out the Rambam got it from the Loshon HaGemara. The Gemara quotes the Braisa from Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus was the first part of the Torah Shebaal Peh that was written down. Now we have everything written down. We have all the Gemaras and the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambams and the Tosefta's, Mishnayos, everything is written down. But originally, before they wrote down the Mishnayos, when the Mishnayos was still being recited Baal Peh, so the Megillas Tainus was Mitzah. Rashi writes in the first parak in Masechah Shabbos, why is it called Megillas Tainus? Because it was a Megillah. It's written down, it starts Nissan, here, Sivan starts with Nissan, and it lists off all the Yamim Tovim that they celebrate. So the Megillas Tainus is written half Aramaic and half Hebrew. So it lists off my Chanukah, the Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara, Shabbos, Dav Chaf Aleph and Beis. So the Gemara quotes this text from the Megillas Tainus, and it says, "Kishigavra Malchus Beis Chashmonaim Etzachim." When the government of the Chashmonaim was established and they won the war, so the Braisa seems to be emphasizing the Malchus. That's why the Rama got it from the Braisa, that we celebrate on Chanukah not only the cleaning up of the Beis HaMikdash, we're celebrating also the fact that they established a Jewish government, because that enhances the Chashivas of the Beis HaMikdash. So clearly, the whole Beis Sheni was a Hirasha. It's not only necessary to say like that according to the Sefer Achinuch, it's necessary to say it according to everybody. Because the Gemara says the proper Seder of the mitzvahs is first to establish a Jewish government, then to build the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Pashtus is, where did the Sefer Achinuch get his idea from? That the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash only applies when you have Rabbi Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. He got it from that Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, they give a mitzvah mitztavi yisrael dichnisasam la'aretz. What do you mean, bichnisasam? When the robe of the Jews moved into Eretz Yisrael. That's a simple translation. Sholosh mitzvahs mitztavi yisrael dichnisasam la'aretz. When they entered Eretz Yisrael, the whole klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael, then it became a chuyv in these three mitzvahs. So that's the mocker of the Sefer Achinuch, that Gemara, that the mitzvah of binyan beis hamikdash is only when you have Rabbi Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So it established the Yom Tov of Chanukah. It's not clear in the Gemara when the mitzvah of Havlokas Haneris was established. The Braisa in the Gemara only says that the next year after the Nisochan of the Muhammad, it says about the Nes of the Pachan Shemen, then it says Lashon Acher is the year after Kabal Masam Yamitev Mahalo Vahidor. They establish it as a yontiv to recite Halo and to say V'ala Nisim and Nishman Esri. But it doesn't say in the Braisa, there are other Braisa, it doesn't say in this Braisa, Megillas Tainus doesn't mention that they establish it right away as a mitzvah of Havlokas HaMenorah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say over there. Some of the later Gedolim have such a suggestion that maybe the mitzvah of Havlokas HaMenorah was instituted later, years later, maybe after the Churban HaBayis, maybe at some later date. Because the original Braisa, Megillas Tainus, doesn't mention the Havlokas HaMenorah. The Gemara does quote Braisas. There are many Braisas about Havlokas HaMenorah, but it's not... You look at the Rambam, from the Rambam, it sounds like everything was established simultaneously. So from the Rambam it sounds like everything was established together, but it's problematic, and the Gemara doesn't say like that. The Ramban has a famous comment on Parshas Vayechi when Yaakov Avinu gives the brachas to all of the Shvatim. If in Alah Nisim it doesn't mention the nes that the Shemen was burning for 8 days. That's a question the Mefarshim asked. Why doesn't it mention that nes? Right? If the Braisa Maseches in Megillas Tainis makes such a fuss about that and they instituted the Halakas HaMenorah, so why don't we mention it in Alah Nisim? So they give different suggestions. I thought the Pashta is one of the answers they give. I thought it makes more sense than the others. In Alah Nisim, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his kindness, for everything that he did for us. So the fact that the menorah was burning for 8 days, that didn't help us, that helped him. Kivayochem. So the menorah in his Beis HaMikdash, was a miracle that was. So we have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. We didn't really fulfill the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is to light the menorah every single day. They didn't light it every day, they lit it the first day. So the first day they were yet to the mitzvah. The next 7 days they kept on burning, they were not yet to the mitzvah. Strictly speaking, you should blow out the menorah and light it again the second day, blow it out the next day and light it again the third day. They didn't do that. So they weren't really yet to the mitzvah. So it was a nes for the Ribbono Shel Olam's sake. What was the purpose of the nes? Is a good question. What was the if we really weren't yet to the mitzvah? If you pour in so much oil that it's going to burn for 8 days straight, you only yet to the mitzvah from the first day. The mitzvah is to do hadlaka every single day. So what was the whole purpose of the nes? So the Navi Chagai, when he encourages Bnei Yisrael that they should build the Beis HaMikdash, all of the three Nevi'im, Chagas HaMalachim, the three Nevi'im who were there in the beginning of the Ba'i Sheni period, so they're all encouraging Bnei Yisrael they should build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Navi says, this is my desire, Be'ertzebo, Be'ikovdo, I will be honored by you building the Beis HaMikdash. And then the word Be'ikovdo is written Chosahei, it's written Be'ikovei, then we pronounce it Be'ikovdo. So we call that a Kriyak Sid. It's written one way and pronounce it differently. So the Gemara asks, why do we have a tradition that has to be a Kriyak Sid? Why don't you just read it Be'ikovei? So the Gemara says, no, that the fact that the hay is missing, it's read Be'ikovdo, the hay is missing, is an indication that there were five things that were missing, five major things that were missing in the second Beis HaMikdash. Then the Gemara lists off the five. The Gemara and Yuma lists off. Then Rabbi Akiveger on the side of the Gemara refers you to different midrashim, where they have a different listing of different five things. And then in the back of the Gemara, the Feinayim refers you to other sources, other midrashim. There were many things that were missing at the beginning of the Ba'i Sheni. So the people at the time they were building the Ba'i Sheni were very disappointed. The old timers remembered the first Beis HaMikdash, and this was Ka'ayin B'Yenayim. So this was nothing. They were crying. The younger people had never seen the Beis HaMikdash, so they were dancing and singing and rejoicing, and the older people were crying. This is only an imitation Beis HaMikdash. So the Nevi'im, all three, Chagas HaMalachi, keep on saying, Chazak Zerubbabel and Chazak Amoret, and everybody should be Mechazik, it's wonderful, wonderful, this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam desires. And even everything is missing, don't worry about it, this is my desire. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to build the Beis HaMikdash. So the Navi Chagai says in advance, as they're building the second Beis HaMikdash, Inenech Marishas HaShemayim HaSaaretz, he says it's going to cause a tremendous miracle to occur during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash to demonstrate that there really is a Hashras HaShechina. The Gemara says one of the five things that was missing in the Ba'i Sheni was the Shechina. What do you mean there was no Shechina? No Shechina, there's no Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash means Beis HaShem. If the Shechina is not there, so what are you wasting your time? It's not just an imitation. Beis HaMikdash. So the answer is no, the Shechina was there, but there was no Gilui Shechina. It was the Tzina. So if you can't see the Shechina, so you get an empty feeling, so you think that there's no Beis HaMikdash. So Ribbono Shel Olam says no, the Shechina will be there, you won't be able to notice it, but it'll come a period of time in the middle of the period, in the middle of the Tkufa, the Ba'i Sheni, Hirenech Marishas, HaShemayim HaSaaretz is going to cause a miracle to occur here in this Beis HaMikdash, which will demonstrate to everybody that the Shechina is here. And even though that miracle will only be short-lived, it'll only be for a short period of time, but still, they'll realize that this second Beis HaMikdash is paving the way, it is going to lead towards the building of the third Beis HaMikdash, when the Shechina will be begolit. It will no longer be Bitzina, then it'll be begolit. So Rashi, in his commentary on Treyosar, on that Pasuk in Chagai, says that the Navi was prophesying in advance the Nes of Chanukah. The purpose of the Nes of Chanukah was not so much the Nes of Masad Gibram Yad Chaloshim, that was a Nes to save the Jewish people, that they should succeed in the war, okay? But the Nes of the Pach Hashem and burning, they weren't yet to the mitzvah of Hadlokah for the, they were yet to the first day. The other 7 days were just a Nes. What was the purpose of the Nes? We weren't yet to the mitzvah.
Do we know that it runs straight, or they maybe went out, or they put it out and they did the same oil, same Nes?
Could be. I don't know. We have no record. I don't know. The assumption, I, guy was making an assumption that it just burned straight. I don't know.
So, even in the time of the vibration, the current would have to put it out at night to burn.
Right, right. Maybe they did. Maybe they did put it out and they blew it and then they lit it again. I think the din is that you're not yotzei though. I think the Gemara says when you light the nair in the Beis Hamikdash in the menorah and it burns, the Gemara says it's considered deshen. Let's say when you makar karbonis on the mizbeach, so they burn, you burn the chalev of the karbonis on the mizbeach. If it's carbon oil, you burn all the limbs, all the yevarim, everything is burnt. So everything is burnt till it turns to ashes. That is mamish deshen, that there's no mitzvah to continue to burn, there's nothing there. Or, everything is, if it's charred on the outside, and then it comes chatzos alayla midnight, then it's considered also deshen. So the Gemara has a whole discussion of ahadure poikin. If you're burning things on the mizbech and it falls off on the floor, when are the kohanim mechuyev to put it back, when are the not mechuyev to put it back? So the Gemara says, if it turned into ashes, mamish ashes, so there's no more mitzvah of akhtar, it already is ashes, it's already deshen. What happens if it's just charred on the outside, but inside it's still raw, and it falls on the floor? You have to pick it up and put it back into the fire. Then you continue to burn, unless it fell off after chatzos alayla. If it's chatzos, it's also equal. When it comes chatzos alayla, so it's considered meukal with an iron. It's considered as if everything was converted into ashes. So just like there's a din of deshen and equal on the chalev and the basar that's burnt on the mizbeach achitzon, so too there's a din of deshen on the shemen and the menorah. The Gemara says that the ner shekoveh, let's say the kohen walks into the heichal in the morning and he sees that one of the neres blew out in the middle of the night. Nobody was there in the heichal. They used to light the menorah in the heichal inside the building of the heichal, and then the kohen walked out, so nobody was there the whole night. It's the opposite from by us. We light the menorah, the golet, the farasiyah, and the beis hamikdash, they lit it at tzinn, and nobody saw the menorah. So the kohen comes in the morning into the heichal to be makta the k'toros, and he sees that the nair went out right away b'tchilas halayla, and there's a whole cup full of oil. It's a shot to throw out that cup of oil. So Gemara says, Fafal, since that oil burnt a little bit, the shem havlaka last night, so nidashin hashemen and nidashin hapsila. The whole shem and the whole psila, the wick, but the oil, everything has a status of deshin, and you can't use it again. So I think the pashtus should be that if they lit all the seven nairis and the menorah the first night, and then they're going to come the next day, they're going to see everything is still burning, even if they blow it out and they light again, they won't be yotzi, because all of the shemen and the psila that's left behind is all dina kedeshin. I think the halacha would declare that it's dina kedeshin. So they'd have to empty everything out and fill it up again. They didn't have what to fill it up. So I think they didn't have what to fill it up, so they just left it there. So they came in every day to the makdik Torahs in the morning. Torahs shachat, Torahs shalbein abayim, the kangoro brought the chavitei, the minchas chavit, and in the morning and evening, they just didn't have shemen. The other karbonas they had. So every day when they walked in, the 7 days following the first day, they walked in, they saw the neris was still burning. So the maisa, the ness of the shemen burning for 8 days straight didn't help us fulfill any mitzvah. It was just a ness. What was the purpose of the ness? The Rebbe Shalom told the Novi Chagai in advance, that's to demonstrate to Bnei Israel that there is a hashuras hashchina. They shouldn't have an empty feeling that they're wasting the time building a Beis HaMikdash, that there's no shchina, it's not Beis HaShem. He said, no, the shchina is here, but it's not going to be begoloi. When it will come, the Beis HaShlishi, then it will be begoloi, and the Beis HaShlishi will be a hemshech of this Beis HaShem. So the pashtus is that's one of the reasons that we give. Maybe that's the reason why we don't mention the Ness of the Pach HaShem in an Alanisim. The Ness of the Pach HaShemen was just to demonstrate that it's a makam hashuras hashchina. But we don't have to thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. What are we going to thank him? That he made a Ness to demonstrate that this is Beis HaShem. Okay. It didn't help us. The Ness didn't help us. It calmed the Bnei Yisrael down, that they realized that, but they were told in advance. The three Nevi'im, Chag Zichar Malachi, told them the Shechina will be here, you won't be able to notice it. In the middle of the period of Baisheni, a Ness will occur and it will be obvious that there is a Hashuras HaShechina. But it does make sense that we should have to thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for that. He didn't do us any tovus. We thank him for the nitzachon of the Mulchana. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash on Parshas Vayechi has a famous comment. When Yaakov Avinu is giving all the brachas to all of the Shvatim, So he says, Lo Yosa Shevet Yehuda, Mechaikik Mibain Raglav, Ad Kiyov Oshila, that the Malchus belongs to Shevet Yehuda. Later on, it was determined that it belongs to the Zera David, to the descendants of David HaMelech. So the Ramban says that when the Hashmonoim, after they were victorious in battle, then they established a government, so they took over the Malchus, and they were Kohanim. The Kohanim are from Shevet Levi, they weren't from Shevet Yehuda. So he refers to the Hashmonoim as Chaside Elyon, they were holy tzaddikim, but they made this major mistake, the Ramban thinks, that they took the Malchus for themselves. That wasn't right. The Malchus should lachatchila belong to Shevet Yehuda, lachatchila descendants from David HaMelech, and b'diyeved, if you appoint any other melech other than Shevet Yehuda, also has a din of melech. Any Shevet would be good b'diyeved, but Shevet Levi, that's not right. And he quotes a passage. Right. Right, so Ramban claims, because he's bothered with this pasuk, he claims that it was never the intention from day number one that Shaul should be the permanent melech. There never was a havamina because he was from Shevet Binyamin. He was going to be like a king and an assistant king. So Shaul's malchus wasn't going to last to be the permanent kingdom. They were going to have to, the plan always was they're going to have to appoint a melech from Shevet Yehuda. That's a chiddush that the Ramban says, based on that pasuk. Yes, Shevet Yehuda, that when Shaul was appointed melech, it was never intended to be. When you read the Tanakh, you get the impression, if not for the fact that Shaul sinned, he and his descendants would have remained the Malachim forever, and there wouldn't have been any need for any other Melech. So the Ramban reinterprets the Pesukim, he says that it can't be like that. Okay, the Chiddush and the Ramban.
The Yanayim who was the Melech? The Hashmonah?
Later, towards the end, of the, a few generations later, so Yanai was a descendant from the Hashmonah.
The Biachim, no? The Kohen Gadol.
It says B'mer Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Yeah, that's a question. Who was the Kohen Gadol? Matisyahu ben Yochanan. Who was the Kohen Gadol? Matisyahu was the Kohen Gadol, or Yochanan was the Kohen Gadol? That's a shaila the Achreinim have. How do you, let's say, when you write a ksuba, when a Kohen gets married, so let's say the Chosm Zayim is Matisyahu ben Yochanan. So how do you write Matisyahu HaKohen ben Yochanan, or you write Matisyahu ben Yochanan HaKohen? Because if you write Matisyahu ben Yochanan HaKohen, it's a gemalt that the father is a Kohen and the son is a Cholo. If the father marries a Grusha, so the father will be a Kohen and the son will not be a Kohen, he'll be a Cholo. So some Achranim write that you write Matisyahu HaKohen ben Yochanan. If the son is a Kohen, obviously the father is a Kohen. It can't be otherwise. And others say you should write twice, Matisyahu HaKohen ben Yochanan HaKohen. And the common meaning is that you only write once. You write Matisyahu ben Yochanan HaKohen, and it goes on the father and the son, they're both Kohanim. What do you take a right if the father is a Kohen, the son is a Cholo? So what do you write to distinguish between the two? Yeah. So you don't write, the Vinegar is you don't write that. So Rav Lezer Telza lived in recent years when we had so many more Chalolim than we had earlier. You had so many secular Jews, and Kohanim and marry Grusha all every other day. There's a Kohen marrying a Grusha. So he says you should write Matisyahu ben Yochanan v'hu Kohen. Why v'hu Kohen? Because it says Malkit Tzedek Melech Shalom Hotzi Lechem Ayam v'hu Kohen l'kelo Yon. So the Gemara says in the Dharm v'hu Kohen v'ein Zara Kohen. Only v'hu Kohen means a miut. Only he was a Kohen and his descendants were not a Kohen. He lost the Kohuna. Malkit Tzedek Melech Shalom lost the Kohuna for his descendants because he didn't bechas Eved Lebichas Kono, because when Avram Avinu was successful in the battle against the four kings, the one against the five kings, so first he said, Baruch Avram Lekel Ayon Koneshimayim, or it's a Baruch Kel Ayon, Hashem Yigain Tzarecha V'yadecha. He gave a bracha first to Avram Avinu, and then he gave the bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that was improper order. He should have first given the bracha to Rabban Shalom, and then given the bracha to Avram Avinu. So the Gemara says in the Dharm that because he said the bracha is out of order, incorrect, so he forfeited the kuhuna for his descendants. And that's the mashmos of that phrase, v'hu kohen l'kel ayon, v'hu kohen v'izarka. So that's what Blazer tells it, has that suggestion. That if the father is a kohen and the chosen bacha is nishkin kohen, or they're getting divorced, whatever the case happens to be, the ksuba, or the tanoim, or the get, or whatever it happens to be. So if the father is a kohen, the son is not, so you shouldn't just write matisyahu ben Yochanan ha-kohen. And ha-kohen only goes on the father. Because whenever we write like that, we assume it goes both on the father and on the son. So you should write matisyahu ben Yochanan, v'hu kohen, implying only the father's kohen. Instead of saying explicitly, Matisyahu HaCholo, that it didn't go up Yerusha.
Doesn't have to be only cholol, because what happens if a kohen adopts a son, adopts a child? So the child is not a kohen.
Right.
So he can't write that he's a kohen, and it's not a cholol either.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva. There was in Chelek Aben Ezra, he has a tshuva. There was a man who used to, a religious man, he got aliyahs. They called him up Pliny Ben Pliny. They called him up to the Torah. He used to sign ksubas, he used to sign gittin. There was a religious balabas. And one fine day, he goes and he marries his aunt. He marries his father's brother, his father's sister. So he said, he said, Kuris, what did you do? You married your father's sister? He says, no, that man was never my father. I was adopted as a little baby. And it was already so long ago, so nobody was alive. The parents were not alive. The old times, no one was alive. And he says, I'm not his son. He always gets an aliyah, plenty of plenty, because he raised him. So they asked the Chassam Sofer, what's the din? So he says he's neman to say like that. And he quotes a Targum Onkelos on the Pasuk, the Serach Bas Asher, that it says, Serach was not the daughter of Asher, Serach Bas Itas Asher. Serach was the daughter of the wife of Asher, and he's this a stepdaughter of Asher, and still the pasuk calls her Serach Bas Asher. So you see that's legitimate, that a stepchild or a child is adopted by someone else can be called on their name. The only concern is if he's going to go under this name. So if you're going to have a child who's adopted by someone else, so sometimes people adopt children because they don't have their own natural children. Sometimes people have children and they adopt another child, but sometimes they'll have a concern. If a couple adopts a baby, and then the husband will die, leaving no descendants, so the wife really needs chalitza, and people will see they have children. So what kind of chalitza? So yes, so the Chassam Sofer is concerned that it may come to a mikshel, it may lead to a mikshel. But if the rabbanim know about it, if the person lets everybody know that I was adopted, he knows he's adopted, and therefore his stepmother is going to need chalitza. Because the father never had any children, so then there's no concern. So you have today people like that. People are adopted, children are adopted, or a couple gets divorced, and then the woman remarries, and then the stepfather is raising a child who's not his natural child. But he raised them from the age of one, so he goes under his stepfather's name. And they know that the din is that he's not a child of this person, so he's allowed to marry. He's allowed to marry his father's sister because he's not his father. It's not a relative at all. So the Gemara said the Ferish Matzah Yisrael was the Kain Gadol. I don't know. I don't remember the Gemara. I just know the Achrayim Amisupik. Who was the Kain Gadol? Whether Matzah Yisrael or Yochanan. So they wanted to bring a raya that we have. The Gemara says Matisyo lived in Modi'in, and the Rambam says that the Kohen Gadol has to have an apartment in Yerushalayim, has to live in Yerushalayim. He can't live outside of Yerushalayim. So the fact that Matisyo lived in Modi'in seems to indicate that the Kohen Gadol was really Yochanan. Yochanan lived in Yerushalayim. Matisyo lived in Modi'in. He was not the Kohen Gadol. Yeah, how does the Rambam know the Kohen Gadol has to live in Yerushalayim? Oh, so that's what the Minchas Chinuch points out. There is a din, whenever a person brings a carbon, so he has to sleep over in Yerushalayim that night. So the Kohen Gadol had to bring, the Minchas Chinuch quotes this from one of his Talmidim, by name. So he says, he didn't know what the marker of the Rambam was, that the Rambam says Kohen Gadol has to live in Yerushalayim. So one of his Talmidim suggested, because of the din of Lina, the Kohen Gadol has to pay for the carbon. He doesn't have to be makrevit, but it's offered on his behalf. He's the Bala carbon. He brings the Minchas Chavitim twice a day. So he has to have lina, he has to sleep over in Yerushalayim that night. So every single night he has to sleep in Yerushalayim. So what good is it going to do that he's going to have an apartment in Modi'in? So the Pashto says that Matisyo couldn't have been the Kohen Gadol, unless you say he lived in Modi'in when they were makriv l'avod hazara, when the Beis HaMikdash was in the hands of the Yevanim, maybe. And then when he became the Kohen Gadol again, then he moved back to Yerushalayim. Maybe he had two apartments. Yeah.
Yanai was not a coin, because the Gemara in Kedushin says that he wanted, when he put on the tzitz, he told him, "What you want to be a king and a coin also?"
Right, he decided he's going to become the Kohen Gadol.
Right, so he wasn't the coin.
He was a coin, all the Hashmonai were Kohanim, so he was a coin. The Gemara just says that they were, rumor had it, that his mother was a shvuya, imon nishbis b'madin. And then the Gemara said, "Vayu kasher davar v'leinim." So it was not confirmed. So strictly speaking, he really should have been kosher to function as a kohen. And that's why he was angry at the Chachamim, at the Tanaim. That's why he killed all the Tanaim. He killed everybody except for his brother-in-law, Shimon ben Shetach. His brother-in-law was the Rosh HaSanhedrin, yeah? History. He's explaining that when he signed all the ksubas, when he gets the aliyas, he never meant to say that this man was his father. He said, Pliny ben, Pliny just means he adopted me, yeah? He never made a shavi anafshi in the first place, that this is my father, Mamela, I'm not allowed to marry his sister. If you once made a shavi anafshi, if a woman says, I am married, and then later on she wants to marry someone else, if you say, but you said you're an ashes ish, so it's ready after Kedei Diba, so she can't say Nizgarashti. It's too late.
If she was acting like an Ashish, even if they're saying it, right? Just by
living the same Ashish,
she didn't say it also,
she can't. If she
lives like an Ashish,
yeah.
So he's not living like
his
son?
That's what he works on. He works on that in his tshuva. I forgot already what he says, but he thinks that he is Neman. Some Sefer says the man is Neman to say that it wasn't really his father. Yeah, yeah. But they never said explicitly that that was his father. So the Ramban HaChumash has this suggestion. He thinks that he refers to the Chashmonaim as Chasidei Elyon, that they were holy tzaddikim, but he says this was a major error on their part that they took the Malchus for themselves. Sometimes you can appoint a Melech not from Shevet Yehuda, not from the descendants of David HaMelech, from another Shevet, but whoever it is from another Shevet, it cannot be from Shevet Levi. It cannot be Min HaKohanim. And he quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi, Eim Aminim Melech Min HaKohanim. What do you mean? Eim Aminim Melech from any of the Shvatim. It has to be from Shevet Yehuda, from Malchus Beis Velos. And the answer is no, even at a time that you'll appoint a Melech, not from Shevet Yehuda, but cannot be from Kohanim. You have to have a division, a separation, so to speak, between church and state. The Kohanim is supposed to run the Beis HaMikdash, and the government is supposed to be run by people other than those who are running the Beis HaMikdash. They have to be two different people. So that's why there's a Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin, where the Gemara has a Machlokes, and the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when they divided Eretz Yisrael, took 7 years to conquer the land, and 7 years to divide. Sheva Shekopsha and Sheva Shechilku. So when they divided Eretz Yisrael, first they divided among the Shvatim, and then within each Shevet, they divided amongst the Mishpachas, and then amongst the Yechidim. So the Gemara has a machlokes when they're drawing the border to separate between one Shevet and the other, does it make sense to draw the line passing through the middle of a city? In the days of Yeshua ben Nun, there were cities already in existence in Eretz Yisrael. Do you have to draw the line on the outskirts of the city, or does it make sense to draw the line cut right through the middle of the city? So that's a machlokes of Yechon Reish Lakish in the end of Masechus Sanhedrin. The Rambam doesn't take any statement, doesn't quote any psak. It's a machlokes once in the history of the world. It'll probably come up once again in the days of Mashiach, when they divide Eretz Yisrael again. A second time, they'll have either the same machlokes, with a chok in the irachas lishnei shvatim, or ein chok in the irachas lishnei shvatim. Once you draw the border, once you draw the line, so a lot of times you'll have a city on one side of the border, then it'll get bigger, bigger, bigger. It'll turn out that half the cities in one, in America there are cities like that. Half the cities in one state, half the cities in the other state. I imagine Melech HaTchila, when they drew the borders for the states, all the cities were within the state, within one state. But then the city kept on expanding. So the Maisa turned out that half of the city was in one state, half of the city is in the other state. So the Gemara says, the Gemara has this machlokes, but the Cholkinir Achas Lishnei Shvatim Anat. So Tosfos there, on the end of Sanhedrin, is bothered with Akasha. How can you have a machlokes where you have a right to draw the line separating in the middle of the city? Yerushalayim was divided, half of it was in Shevet Yehuda, half was in Shevet Binyamin. So Tosfos says, no, that has to be like that. Yerushalayim has to be half in Yehuda, half in Binyamin, because Yaakov Avinu said, Liyasa Shevet Yehuda, Yerushalayim has a double role. It has to be the capital of Eretz Yisrael, and the government has to be from Shevet Yehuda. It's supposed to be from Shevet Yehuda. So half of, at least part of Yerushalayim has to be in Shevet Yehuda. Then Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu both, when each one of them, when they gave the brachas to the various shvatim, so they both gave the bracha to Binyamin, Yidir Hashem Mishkan Lebet Ochal Ofrech Chachef and Falav Kol Hayom. They both said the same thing, the Hashvas Hashchina will be Bechelka Shal Binyamin. Why is that so is a discussion in the Midrashim. Why was Mol Shvat and why was Binyamin singled out? But that's what they both said. Yaakov Avinu said it Beruach HaKodesh, Moshe Rabbeinu said it Beruach HaKodesh. That the Mizbech will be built Bechelka Shal Binyamin. So the Yerushalayim has to be the Mokum of the Beis HaMikdash, and Yerushalayim has to be the capital city of the government. So that's why part of Yerushalayim has to be Dafka Bechelka Shal Binyamin, to have the Beis HaMikdash there. And part of Yerushalayim has to be Bechelka Shal Yehuda, in order to have the government offices there. So the Marsha points out, Anar Agadate in the Gemara in Zvachim, that Yerushalayim is the one city that was in Zchalka L'Shvatim. Half was B'Shevet Binyamin, half is B'Shevet Yehuda. So he says the Halacha wants that there should be a separation, so to speak, between church and state. The Melech is supposed to be supervising the building of the Beis HaMikdash, but still, the Melech shouldn't control the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohanim who run the Beis HaMikdash should not be running the government. So that's what the Ramban writes on Parshas Vayechi. That even if you have a Shas HaTchak and you have to appoint the Melech from some other Shevet other than Shevet Yehuda, it should be from some other Shevet, but it shouldn't be Shevet Levi. It shouldn't be the Kohanim. Eim Amin Melech Bekohanim, that's a special din. So the Ramban claims that because the Chashmonoim violated this din, so that's why ultimately their kingdom was doomed to failure. That's why everything had to collapse. The Halacha recognizes different Melochim. The Melech from the Malchut Beis David has a special status, and the Melech not from the Malchut Beis David has less of a status. Take for example, Gemara has a din, no one is permitted to sit in the Azorah, in Yeshiva Ba'Azorah, Ela the Malchut Beis David Bilvad. Even the Kohen Gadol was not allowed to sit in the Azorah. But the Malchut Beis David are permitted to sit in the Azor. That's the Shaila Zadah Din. Rashi in different places writes different Shatim. So sometimes Rashi writes that the whole Din is only a Din de Rabbanon, and Yeshiva Bazor. Okay, a Din de Rabbanon. So they made an exception to the rule for Malchut Beis David Av Kavod HaMelech. But Rashi in another place writes that it's a Din de Raisa. How can it be a Din de Raisa? There's no Pasuk in Chumash. So Rashi says, Halacha L'Moshe Misina. They had a tradition, Halacha L'Moshe Misina, and Yeshiva Bazor. Ela the Malchut Beis David, that's the lashon of the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It's a little funny. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to Har Sinai, this state, Ein Yeshiva Bazar al Malchut Beis David, well, that sounds a little humorous. So Rav Elbam HaSoloveitchik touches it up. He says, no, the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, according to that opinion of Rashi, was Ein Yeshiva Bazar Ela the Malchus HaNevcheres. The Malchus HaNevcheres, that was determined later, that that's going to turn out that was David HaMelech, David Bazar. But this is a difference. According to one suggestion of Rashi, this is a din deraisa. Ein yeshiva bazar elul malchut beis david bilvad. You have another din that's clearly a difference. That's the rabbanon, right? Ein donim es hamelech is only the rabbanon, and malchut beis david you are done. Yeah. You have another difference on the level of deraisa. L'chol adayis is a din deraisa. The din is that the melech is supposed to have mishicha v'shem in mishchas kodesh, and the Gemara says it's an issue of meila yimoel behegdish. But if the halacha requires that you need mishicha for Malchut Beis David, so it's not a violation of Me'ila B'Shem and Mishchas Kodesh. But if you have any melech other than the Malchut Beis David, then the Gemara says that halacha doesn't apply. So they used to use imitation, Shem and Mishchas, they used to use Shem and Afarsimo, parsimony oil. They wouldn't use the Shem and Mishchas Kodesh. I remember when they found the parsimony oil, they wrote it up on the first page of the New York Times, that they found parsimony oil from 2,000 years ago, from the days of Osa Hoish. So they wrote in the New York Times, and this is the holy oil that they used to use to anoint the Davidic kings. It's all wrong. This is the oil that they used to anoint any king other than Malchus Beis David. If you're a melech from the Malchus Beis David, you use the Shemin Mishchas Kodesh, the parsimony oil, the Shemin Afarsimon, that was the imitation oil that they would use dafke if it wouldn't be a melech from the Malchus Beis David. The Pashtus says that he does have a din of melech. The Pashtus he does, but it's an iser. Even though if you have a shas hatchak, you can appoint a king from another shevet other than Yehuda, other than Malchut Beis David, descendants from David HaMelech, and they have a din of melech, but you shouldn't appoint from Kohanim and Levim. But if he did, the Pashtus says that he would have a din of melech. The Nevi'im didn't approve. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Melochim, and a melech is supposed to be appointed al pi Novi. So clearly the Nevi'im did not approve. There were no Nevi'im then. Chag HaMalachi had died way before. This was 200 years, at least 200-300 years after the building of the second Beis HaMikdash when the Chashmonaim came out. Chashmonaim were a little over 200 years before the end of the Beis Sheni. So that's the question, how long did the whole Beis Sheni last? The Gemara claims Beis Sheni lasted 420 years. Beis Rishon says in Tanakh it lasted 410 years. Beis Sheni, there's no Psukim in Tanakh. So the Gemara's historical tradition is that it lasted 420 years. And according to the Goyish history books, it says that it lasted at least another 160 years more than that. Yeah, that's a question, how do you deal with this contradiction between the Gemara and the Goyish history books? So the Balamor writes in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, when the Gemara is working about the history, so the Gemara takes Psukim in Tanakh, you have one king and another king and another king and another king, all these kings. So the Gemara says, no, it's the same person, he had a lot of names, had a lot of aliases. It's all the same person. So the Balamor says, we all know from the Goyish history books that the Beis Sheni was much longer and they weren't different kings. It's not the same name, it's not the same king with different names, they're different kings, and the Beis Sheni was much longer. We know that the Goyish history books are more accurate than the Talmudic history. And the Raibit who learned Bechavrusa with the Balamor screams at him like you're an Apikairis. He writes in the Seoris, what do you mean? The Gemara gives this record of history and we assume that the Goyish history books are inaccurate. So that was an ongoing debate throughout all the generations, whether we assume the Goyish history books are more accurate or the Talmudic history is more accurate. So the Beis Sheni was clearly Beis Sheni was clearly longer than the Beis Rishon. It was at least 420 years, if not much longer. So the Gemara has this part of the Gemara is accurate. The Nes Chanukah, the story with the Chashmonaim, that was a little over 200 years before the Churban HaBayis. How many years was it into the Binyan HaBayis? That's a question. But there were no Nevi'im alive anymore. The last Nevi'im who were alive were Chag HaSchar Malach at the beginning of the Beis Sheni. So the din usually requires that when you appoint the Melech have to have the approval of a Navi. So when they appointed the Maccabim as a Melech, there was clearly no approval of any Navi. So that's the question, is that Me'akev? If you appoint the king, you don't have the approval of a Navi. So the Pashto says, if you can't have approval of a Navi, then no Nevi'im alive. So the Pashto says that the approval of the Navi is not Me'akev. The Pashto says the approval of the Navi is not Me'akev. The Pashto says if you have a Melech and the other Shvatim, he does have a din of Melech. The dinim of Melech, that the Melech who's Mechal Shabbos has to bring a Soya Nasi, a special carbon, a fancy carbon, that dinim of Melech will apply. All the dinim of Melech will apply. There's certain dinim that won't apply. Mashiach, B'Shem, and Amishcha doesn't apply if he's not a Melech on the Malchay Beis Dovid. The Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis in the end of Sanhedrin sounds like he has another difference. Psachidish, it doesn't really say in the Gemara. We have a din in the Gemara. Amara B'Malchus is how do you say? Amara B'Malchus is Chayiv Misa. Amara B'Malchus Yesh Rishus B'Yad HaMelech Lahargo. So the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah writes is based on the pasuk in Yeshua, that when Yeshua ben Nun was appointed to take over the position of Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Rambam quotes from the Gemara, Yeshua ben Nun had a din Melech, and that's what the pasuk says: Kol Ish Asher Amar Espicha Lo Yichya. Such a pasuk in the beginning of Yeshua. So we learn after that pasuk that Amar B'Malchus is Chayiv Misa. What does mean Chayiv Misa? So when the Rambam quotes that din in Hilchas Malachim, he doesn't say Chayiv Misa. He says Amar B'Malchus is Yesh Rishus B'Yad HaMelech LaHargo. If the king chooses to, he has a right to put the person to death if he feels that it's necessary for the discipline of the community. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis, the end of Sanhedrin, writes Hamari B'Malchus Beis David is Chayiv Misa. Why does he have Hamari B'Malchus Beis David? Yeshua ben Nun was not Malchus Beis David. So Rav Elbala Soloveitchik writes that it would appear, he writes in the Sefer HaChumash, it would appear that there are two different dinim. Hamari B'Malchus in general, any Melech is Rishus B'Yad HaMelech L'Argo. If he feels that it's necessary for the discipline of the community, he has a right to kill him. Hamari B'Malchus Beis David, there it's not up to the, it's not the choice of the king if he wants to put him to death, there is Taka Chayiv Misa. That's the difference between Malchus Beis David and Shar HaMelochim. So there are differences. The Rambam has another difference. The Rambam quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, the beginning of Hilchas Melochim. He says, only the Melech and the Malchus Beis David has the right to use Yerushalayim as his capital. Any king other than Malchus Beis David has the status of a Melech, but is not supposed to use Yerushalayim as his official capital, because Yerushalayim is the official capital of Eretz Yisrael, for the official government. The official government, the Malchus HaNebcheres, that's Malchus Beis David. That's like the Halacha Moshe Messina by Rashi wrote, that the Ein Yeshiva Bazar El and the Malchus Beis David Belvad means the Malchus HaNebcheres, that Melech is allowed to sit in the Azaris Eros. Only the Malchus HaNebcheres is allowed to use Yerushalayim as the capital. But the Chashmonoim set themselves up as the Kohanim. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash thinks that that was a mistake, that they shouldn't have done that, even if it was necessary to appoint a king other than Shevet Yehuda, but he thinks that they shouldn't, the Kohanim are especially, that it's not proper. So that you used to point out when you read the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah, it sounds from the Rambam that he does not agree with this Ramban. When the Rambam is writing what we're celebrating about, what Chanukah is all about, so he says, the Beis HaMikdash was used to Rabbi the Zohar, and then they cleaned it out, and they made a new Mizbech, and a new Menorah, and so on. And then he writes, Angerechent in the Milus of what we're celebrating, Hamidu Melech Min HaKohanim. Sounds like that's what we're celebrating, Hamidu Melech Min HaKohanim. Why is it a Mila? The Ramban claims that it's a Chisor. We can understand one who doesn't hold that it's a Chisor, but how did it become a Mila? Hamidu Melech Min HaKohanim. So I think Rav Soloveitchik said, I seem to recall he said was, because the Melech was Min HaKohanim, so he was Fruma, so he instituted more Shmiris HaMitzvahs. The Melech accomplished more Shmiris HaMitzvahs in Klal Yisrael. If he would have not been Min HaKohanim, we're always hanging around the Beis HaMikdash and bringing Karbonos, there were more Medaktik and Mitzvahs than the rest of the Amoina. Yet, much of the Bai Sheni period there was Tzedukim, that is true. But the Rambam understands over here that this was considered a milah. Yeah. Amina Melech Min HaKohanim was Angerechen as one of the milahs. So there, when they established the Yontif of Chanukah, so one of the mitzvahs that they established was the Havlokas HaNeiros. The question whether it was established Shana Acheres the very next year. The Brisa says the very next year they only establish it for Halav Vayidur. So it sounds a little bit as if Havlokas HaMenorah is established at some later point. Not clear exactly when. So this Havlokas HaMenorah on Chanukah is reminiscent of the Havlokas HaMenorah, the Beis HaMikdash, called the Tikkun Rabbanah, came the Raisa Tikkun. Even though it's in a certain sense it's an opposite, that here you have to light the menorah in a conspicuous place, in a public place, you should accomplish Pisumi Nisa. And the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, nobody saw it. The Kohen went into the Hechel to light it, then he went out. And you're not allowed to go in. There's an Issa Bieri Kodesh. You're not allowed to enter the Hechel unnecessarily unless you have to go in to do another Avodah. So you didn't know that it was burning for 7 days till he went in the next day to be mocked to the Torahs. And he didn't know until the next day. No one is allowed to go into the Hechel. So it's, in a certain sense, it's the opposite from the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. But still, the Ar Havlokas HaMenorah is reminiscent of the Havlokas HaMenorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So the sugya of Chanukah begins here, Masech HaShabbos, HaKafala from an Aleph. The Gemara comments on the Mishnah, Baba Madlikin and Bamoyim Madlikin, when you light Neiris for Shabbos, so you're not allowed to use either wicks or oil that are not going to burn well. Because it's Exeris Shemayata. The person may be sitting by the table and eating or learning, a singing Zneiris, and then the flame is going to start flickering. So he may forget on Shabbos and he may fix the flame, and that's a Malach of Havar. So that's why the Mishnah has a whole list of wicks and a whole list of oils that don't burn well, so you're not allowed to use these oils. So the Gemara says in the Beis HaMikdash also, when they lit the menorah in the Hechel, they had to be careful. It says La'alos Ner Tomin. And we have a brisa that comments on Mahalas Na'atomit. You have to light the menorah in such a way, you have to set it up and light the menorah in such a way that it should continue to burn well, because no one's going to be there in the Hechel. Everyone's going to walk out, no one's allowed to enter in the middle of the night till the morning. And the Kohen Gadol brings the Chavit HaKohen Gadol. The Chavit HaKohen Gadol is brought outside. Excuse me, the Chavit HaKohen Gadol is on the Mizbeach Achitzon. When he's going to go in, when the Kohen will go in to burn the Ketoros in the morning, the Ketoros is on the Mizbeach HaKohen inside. So no one's going to know how it's burning. So you have to make sure, before Shkia, when you light the menorah in the Echol, that you shall light it well. So the Gemara says, whatever psilus of shmonim you're not allowed to use for Erev Shabbos, because it may not burn well, so you're not allowed to use it in the Beis HaMikdash either, because it may not burn well. So here Rabbi Kivega has a comment. He says, what do you mean, the shmonim, the different oils that are listed off in the Mishnah that don't burn well, you're not allowed to use in the Beis HaMikdash? The Chumash Chumash, it says you have to do Shemen Zayis Zoch. You have to use pure olive oil. So you knock out right away all the other oil. There's nothing to discuss. You're not Yotze the Mitzvah if you use any other oil. The Gemara should have only said the psilois, the wicks that are not, the Chumash doesn't tell you what kind of wick you have to use. So the Mishnah tells you a list of wicks that don't burn well. So those wicks shouldn't be used in the Beis HaMikdash. But to tell me that you can't use all of the oils that don't burn well, even if they do burn well, if it's anything other than Shemen Zayis Zoch, so there's nothing to discuss. That's what Rabbi Kevegi writes. He thinks there's something fishy over here. Koshali, he doesn't understand. So some point out that other editions, other manuscripts of the Gemara Taka don't have the word shmonim. It just says psilus. Shomer Chachamim, those wicks that are listed off in the Mishnah that don't burn well, you're not allowed to use Beis HaMikdash. But shmonim, you don't have to say. All the other oils, no need to mention that they can't be used for the Beis HaMikdash. Anything other than Shem Mizayis is not acceptable. One of the Gdolim wrote a long commentary of Yeruchim Perla, was a businessman. So he wrote a long commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs where Avsad Yigon wrote a poem that contains all of the 613 mitzvahs. So this Rabbi Yeruchim Perla was a very learned individual. So he tries to figure out exactly how did Avsad Yigon determine what belongs in the minyan HaMitzvahs and what not. And which mitzvahs, the whole thing is written in poetry, so sometimes it's a little obscure what he's referring to. So he works very hard, he has three big volumes, the whole poem is enganced in 2-3 pages. So he has three big fat volumes the size of Baba Basra, each one, to explain what's the system of Rav Saad Yigon. How did he decide what's a mitzvah, what's not a mitzvah? So he discusses there in his commentary on the Sefer Mitzvah of Rav Saad Yigon, he discusses many issues that no one else ever discusses. And it brings rice from piyutim and from kinnis and from slichas, all kinds of rice that no one ever pays attention to these things. It brings rice from midrashim to all kinds of things. So he thinks that there are sources in midrashim that seem to indicate that the Shem Zayis Zoch is not ma'akeh for the menorah. It's only lachatchila. When it says in the Chumash, you use Shem Zayis Zoch for the menorah, that's a mitzvah min amufra, but if you use peanut oil, or you use cottonseed oil, but you would also be yotze. So that's what the Gemara is saying. You shouldn't use those oils that don't burn well. You shouldn't use for the menorah because no one's going to be there in the hechel. You're going to light the menorah. You're going to walk out, but no one's going to be there to see to it that it burns well. So then the Gemara continues to discuss hadlokas neiris chanukah. They said a little bit about how hadlokas hamenorah in the Beis HaMikdash compares to hadlokas haneiris on Erev Shabbos. Then they introduced the whole sugya of hadlokas hamenorah in the homes on the Yom Tov of Chanukah. So the Gemara has famous discussions here. So one of the discussions the Gemara has is, when you light the Neres Chanukah, should you say Hadlokah is a mitzvah? When you light the candle, that is the mitzvah? Or should you say Hanochah is a mitzvah? It's not enough to light the Neres. You have to pick up the menorah every day and put it down. Hanochah is a mitzvah. Just if the menorah is sitting there and you light it, that's not enough. You have to pick it up and put it down again.
Yeah.
So the shaila. So the final conclusion of the Gemara is hadlokah is a mitzvah. The conclusion is hadlokah is a mitzvah. V'haraya, the Gemara says the Gemara has two proofs. So one proof the Gemara gives on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph is for the nusach habracha. We say Hashem Kedushanu b'mitzvah Yisav Tzibanu lahadlik ner shol Chanukah. So since he said lahadlik, so that's a right that we pass in Shema Minah, that's a proof hadlaka is a mitzvah. That's the pashtus like that. Why did the Gemara have a minute to think hadlaka is a mitzvah? Why in the world should you think, if you light a menorah, you're not yotze, you have to put in the candles, pick it up and put it down, and then light the menorah? What do you have to pick it up and put it down for? Why in the world should you think that you need a hadlaka? What's that all about? Where in the world does it come from? So some explain, perhaps based on a Rambam, you can understand it a little bit. There is a din in Chumash, Hazar HaKorev Yumas. Hazar means a non-koyin. So if a non-koyin is makriv karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, he's chayim nisi b'dei shamayim. During the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, they had a sign, I think they still have that sign, that was written in Latin or in Greek, that said a non-Jew who enters the Beis HaMikdash will be put to death. So that was apparently a translation of Hazar HaKorev Yumas. They warned the non-Jews, whoever enters Beis HaMikdash will be put to death. But that's not what the pasuk means. Hazar does mean a non-Jew, it means a non-Kohen. And HaKorev does mean if he walks into the Beis HaMikdash, it means if he's makriv karbonis. And Yumas means Misa B'dei Shamayim. So they're just the three words, each word is incorrect. That's not what the pasuk means. So the Gemara discusses this. Azara Karavuma is that Azar, Anankai, who's makro karbonis, the Chaim Yisrael Shemayim, which karbonis? Any carbon you bring. So the Gemara says, no, there are only four avodas for which Anankai is Chaim Yisrael Shemayim. So the Gemara has a whole sugya, why doesn't it apply to all karbonis? So the Gemara says, it has to be Ahin, it has to be Aher, it has to be the conclusion of the avodah. If you have a series of avodas, let's say, Kabbalah Saddam, Hailocha Saddam, you're not finished till you do Zvika Saddam. So since it's an Avodah Sheyesh Achrei Avodah, it's not an Avodah Tama, it's not the end of the whole series, so you're not Chayiv on that. It's because Adam is talking one of the Avodahs that is Zar is Chayim Yisim Dei Shaman. Shechita Ksher Bezar, Shechita you don't need a coin for. And Kabbalah and Halach is not the final Avodah. So then the Gemara says, well, what about...
It's also entering, because when it's also for Hazar. That's why Hazar could have, the one who shechts, he had to have a long knife. If you shecht it, he has to stay outside.
That's it. There's a dim in the Rabbanon that there was Ezra's Kohanim. Part of the Azara, the first couple Amas, was known as Ezra's Yisrael. Yisrael am I allowed to go. And deeper into the Azara is called Ezra's Kohanim. But the Gemara said that's only a mile in the Rabbanon. That's only a Chumar in the Rabbanon. And a third day may go even further in. That's a Chumar in the Rabbanon. Yeah. So the Gemara says, why is it if Azar lights the menorah? Why did the Amora list of only four avodas that Azar is Chamisim Dei Shemayim? Why not Hadlocha Samenorah? So the Gemara says no, because Hadlocha Lab Avodei. Hadlocha Samenorah doesn't constitute an avoda that Azar should be Chamisim Shemayim. Why not? So there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the other Rishonim, how do you translate the words of the Gemara? So the Rambam learns Hadlocha Lab Avodei, Hadlocha, just like Shechita Ksher Bizar. Shechita Lab Avodei, Kosh Bizar. Hadlocha Samenorah is kosher bizar. It's not an avoda that requires a kohen at all. So there's no din that if a non-kohen is going to be matlok the menorah, it's chamisa v'yishmaim. It's permitted lachatchila to light the menorah. And the Raivin and all the other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. That's ridiculous. It says in Baha'u'llah Yischa that a kohen has to light the menorah. A non-kohen can't light the menorah. But the Gemara says in Yumadeh and Afcha Beis that hadlocha lav avodei, it means it's not an avoda for which chamisa v'yishmaim. Learn that from a pasuk. But it doesn't mean that it's not an avodah that you don't need a kohen at all. So the Shad is according to the Rambam that a zar is permitted lachatchila to light the menorah. How's he going to get into the hechel to light the menorah? You only permit midrabbanan. True, it's only midrabbanan. You only permit the Israelim to go the first couple amas in the azar, and after that is called Ezra's kohanim. They don't allow any non-kohanim to go, and the menorah is supposed to be lit in the hechel. So where? How is the zar going to get into the hechel to light the menorah? So the Rambam writes, no problem. They'll take the menorah. He says it's so heavy, a gigantic menorah. So the Rambam says, I'll take the menorah out from the Hechel into the first section of the Azara that's called Ezra Sisro. The Zar will light it, and then a Kohen will take it back and put it back in. So if the Gemara says, if you would hold, the Gemara has a machlokes, but the Hadlok is a mitzvah, Anoch is a mitzvah, machlokes by our menorah and Chanukah. So the Gemara says, "Lamai nafkemina, but the halacha is a mitzvah, nocha is a mitzvah." The Gemara says, "Nafkemina, what if I light the menorah inside a room which has no window facing the street, and the family isn't there in that room? No one's there in the room. There's absolutely no pisum in Isa whatsoever. So I light the menorah there, and then they tell me I'm not yotzei. So I'll take the menorah lit and I'll put it in the room where everybody's there. I'll put it by the window. So if the din would have been hanocha is a mitzvah, would have been good. If the din is halacha is a mitzvah." So at the time of Hadlokah, it was no good, so you're not Yotze. So how does the Rambam write? So we happen to pass on Hadlokah, it's a mitzvah. You have to do the Hadlokah, and the Makam Haroi, the Kiyama mitzvah. So how does the Rambam write that the Zara is going to light the menorah in the first couple of Amis in the Azara, then a Kohen will carry the menorah into the Hechol? Doesn't the din require that Hadlokah is a mitzvah? So apparently the Rambam thinks Hadlokah is a mitzvah is only by Yos and Chanukah, but in the Beis HaMikdash is Hanukah is a mitzvah. You don't need a hadlocha to do the mitzvah. Really, is hanocha is a mitzvah. So that's what some of the mefarshim say. The assumption is in the Beis Hamikdash, it's not hadlocha is a mitzvah. It's hanocha is a mitzvah. And the Gemara Sofik was: to what extent did we pattern hadlocha samenorah by us after hadlocha samenorah in the Beis Hamikdash? Should we say that just like in the Beis Hamikdash, you don't need hadlocha is a mitzvah, so too by us? Or should we say no? That our hadlocha samenorah is different from the hadlocha in the base. I mean, by us it has to be hadlocha is a mitzvah.
We're always trying to make it different than base. I mean, we don't want to emulate it completely, mm-hmm. number of seven branches and so forth. So the same thing here.
Same thing like you said, mentioned before, that oil remains, it becomes deshin. We could, if we wanted, light the hair brown, then you blow it out. You have enough oil, you can use the same oil for the next thing. So you have a difference between that and the
hair. Right, we have a lot of dinim that are different, we have a lot of dinim that are similar. Like that's a shaila. Quite a few Gedolei Achronim came up with the chiddush that you're only yotze neres chanukah if you light in a container. If you don't put the candles in a container, you're not yotze. Rav Soloveitchik, you all know Rav Soloveitchik used to be very absent-minded. So a lot of times, the week before Chanukah, when he would come in from Boston, he'd forget to bring his menorah with him. So he used to sell tin menorahs in the yeshiva for 25 cents. So he didn't know that they're selling menorahs there. So every other year this would happen, more than every other year. He would forget to bring a menorah from Boston, and then he would go buy Shabbos candles. He wouldn't realize that they're selling in the dormitory, they're selling the little menorahs. So he would buy Shabbos candles, he would melt the bottom of the Shabbos candle on the windowsill, and he would light the candles like that without putting it in a container. So a lot of Achrayim say that you're not Yotze. You're only Yotze Halokas HaMenorah if you light in a container. So one of the boys told me, one day I was about to daven mincha in my classroom, so a student comes in and he said, I don't know who he was, tells me, Rabbi Soloveitchik said I should tell you that you are crazy. I'm looking at him like this. So he says, last night, the Rav had a minyan to daven Ma'ariv. He used to daven Ma'ariv early, right after the Shkia, and then he lit the Chanukah menorah. So he lit the Chanukah menorah on the window, so he didn't have a menorah, so he put the melted candle. So this student had heard me give a shiur. So he tells Rabbi Soloveitchik, you have a shechta said that you're not Yotze. So he said, go tell Rabbi Shechter, he's crazy. he did the shlichus, yeah. So a lot of Achrayim hold like this. A lot of times say that you have to light the menorah on Chanukah similar to the Beis HaMikdash, just like in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a din. You need a menorah, so by us also there's a din you need. It's a kli shor, so by us you have to have a kli also. So then she thought, there's no such din, you don't need a kli. It doesn't say in the Gemara, it doesn't say in Rishonim. The Achrayim came up with this idea.
Normal.
In regular people, the shaitas of others market. Is there such a thing that you really need the container? Yeah.
You know, I was a kid, we used to
put oil in there. Yeah, they're talking about that. If you carve out a hole in a potato, does it have a shame clean or not? Yeah. Is that acceptable for a clean? They have that discussion. So that's a big discussion in the Gemara and the Paschim. To what extent do we say that our Hadlokas HaNeiros and Chanukah should be patterned after the Hadlokas HaMenorah Beis HaMikdash, and to what extent do we say that it's not the same? One of the Gedolim in Europe, the one who wrote the Beis Yitzchok, Yitzchok Shmelkis, was the Rav in Lemberg in the middle of the 1800s. So they started with the electric bulbs then. So he writes, he thinks that you can say L'Hadik Nesh HaShabbos, L'Hadik Nesh HaYontif on an electric bulb. But he thinks that it's not acceptable for Ner Chanukah because Ner Chanukah has to be Dumya the Beis HaMikdash. Say when you heat the metal till it glows, that has a metal filament, so that's a Eish, so that's a Ner. So you can say L'Hadik Nesh HaShabbos, L'Hadik Nesh HaYontif. But he thinks for Chanukah, since it's Zecher to the Nes and the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, they had Shemir Psila. So you have to have like a candle with the wax, or you have to have oil with the wick. You have to have two different things. And if you just have an electric bulb with the filaments, you just have a psila, but you don't have any shemen. You don't have any fuel that gets used up. So he thought that you're not yotze with an electric bulb because it's not similar to the Beis HaMikdash. Others disagreed, and they thought that you can even use an electric bulb for Chanukah also.
But the electric bulb, you don't light it. You don't make a fire. From electric, but then when you light it with a shemen or with an air, you're lighting this.
When you turn on the bulb, so you light it.
Turn on the bulb.
Switch.
You turn on the switch, huh?
It's enough there.
That's a great thing.
No, so that's what they said. If you smell, she thought that it is good. He thought when you heat metal, that's Rav Chaim Moshe held. When you turn on an electric bulb on Shabbos, Rav Chaim Moshe paskan that that's a malacha deraisav havara. Because the Rambam writes at the Sefta, when you heat metal till it glows, that's called havara, that's called esh. So since it's called esh, it's called the ner, and you use it with ner Shabbos and ner is Abdol also. The paskan said you can use, they quote Rav Chaim Moshe, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik wanted to demonstrate that they held that turning on an electric bulb constitutes a malacha deraisa. So it used to be mahadah to say bar mi'ar ha'esh by Havdola, Abdafka on an electric bulb. because there were those that held that turning on electric bulb is only an Issa Derabbanan, so they wanted to demonstrate that they hold that it's a real age their Issa. So they used to reserve for Havdalah, they would dafka say Havdalah over an electric bulb. But Ner Chanukah, that was the machlokes. So some hold it has to be similar to the Beis Hamikdash. So that's a big discussion, different details in the Gemara, in the later Paschim, to what extent does the Ner Chanukah have to be similar to the Beis Hamikdash, to what extent not. The Maharal Prague has a famous, has a whole sefer on Ner Chanukah, it's called Ner Mitzvah. So he has a famous comment that is discussed at length by later Svarim, that how come in the war against the Yevanim, how come the menorah played such a role? They made a new mizbech, but did a lot of things that had to clean up the Beis Hamikdash. There were dead bodies there, and there was Avodah Zarah there, and there was Tumah there. They had to do so many things. Why such a focus dafka on the menorah? So he says that the Greeks, the Yevanim, had Chochmas Yavan. The Chochmas Yavan is a science. Chochmas Yavan places a lot of emphasis on experimentation. Whatever you experiment and you see that it's there, so that's what we believe in. Whatever you can't prove that it exists, so they wouldn't accept that such a thing exists. So, and the menorah represents, the lighting of the menorah, the Gemara says, represents chokhmah, chokhmah satar, but all the chokhmahs. But included in all the other chokhmahs is also chokhmah satar. So right. Sometimes it represents nishmas adam, but the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash is supposed to represent chokhmah, but all the chokhmahs together, including chokhmah satar. So chokhmah satar, a lot of times it's a chokhmah b'kodesh baruch hu, a lot of times there are nyanim of chokhmah that you really can't prove. There are ruchnis bigger things that we really can't understand, that alamayla menatevah, that we don't understand. So the Maharal Prague thinks that perhaps that's one of the reasons why the focus was in the takanas hachachamim, focus was on a menorah, more so than they had to make a new mizbech also. That are the other things in the Beis Hamikdash. But because the menorah represents, among other things, Chochmas HaTorah, and they were fighting against Chochmas Yavan, and Chochmas Yavan only holds from science, so they wanted to show this contrast, that we accept science, Avadim, we're the first one, we would be happy about science. But we also recognize there's another type of Chochmah that we can't really understand. For many years in the yeshiva, they used to have a chagiga on Chanukah, so they used to have Professor Louis Feldman would speak. So he would always get up, year after he would get up, and he would say, he teaches Greek and Latin in the yeshiva, so he said he has yard size now for the Yevanim, because he takes Greek, and he's going to explain to the students in yeshiva why the rabbis didn't like the Yevanim. So he would explain the difference in Hashkafa, that part of what he said many different things. Part of what he would point out would be a few years in Iraq. So he would say that in the Jewish religion, everything centers about God. God is in the middle. And in the Greeks, everything centers about man. So they would emphasize about strength of the human being. They would emphasize about beauty of the body. They'd emphasize about the seichel of the human being. Whatever you can figure out with your seichel, you experiment, you see it, you understand that it's there. So that exists. Whatever you can't prove with your seichel, whatever you can't demonstrate that you have no proof that it exists, so they wouldn't recognize such a thing. So we recognize science, but we also recognize there's a chokhmah of a kiss as well. There's different types of chokhmah.
Like